We made it. We're here. Last year at this time, when this was just an empty, oily warehouse, I used to sit in the corner right over there every morning and pray, looking forward to this day. Some of you saw what this building looked like back then. Any of you remember that? Yeah. On that night that we first learned from the Tinton Falls Zoning Board that we would be allowed to use this for our church, I was so full of excitement and so celebratory that someone had to grab me by the shoulders and say, "Wait, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon." And she told me that because she knew that it would be a year before we stood as we do this morning in this place. And I've run, and many of you have run with me over this past year, and this morning is for us like a finish line. We've made it. Now, there are others of you here who are here for the very first time. This is the first time you've ever been with Park Church, and to you I say welcome. For you, this isn't a finish line. If anything, this might be a starting line. I guess it depends on how this goes. What I want to show you this morning is that where we stand right now is at a finish line, which is also a starting line. Now, I was told I'm only allowed to tear up once and cry once during the sermon. And if you know me as a person, I'm emotional. And I'm emotional because I've been through years of misery, and God has delivered me, and the goodness of God is so good that I figure, why waste trying to push down when you're glad? Why waste time doing that? And I don't want to do that. It's almost Christmas, and this also happens to be our very first time gathering in this building. I've decided that I'm going to save my Christmas sermon for Wednesday. And I'm not going to talk about Christmas this morning. I hope that's okay. If it's not okay with you, please come to Two River Theater, because I'll talk about Christmas there. What I want to talk about this morning is how you and I should think about the moment that we're in right now. And that goes for those of us who see this as a finishing line, and also those of us who see it maybe as a starting line, how we should think about where we are right now, and how we should think about where we're going. And the one who's going to teach us how to think about this is Jesus. Jesus was a masterful storyteller. He had followers and friends who came along with him, and he wanted them to know how to think about life. And he told stories to give them the right pictures for how to think about life. And if you were one of those people who's here this morning who was in the Lutzma's living room when all this began, and some of you are here, 13 years ago, when we sat and dreamed together, you still need to learn from Jesus. And if you are a person who's here this morning because the general contractor, Shorelands Construction, told you you would not get your check unless you showed up, and there are among us that the very hands that built the place that we're in are with us this morning, you also need to learn from Jesus. Everyone, no matter where you are in faith, every one of you, you can learn from him. And the story that we're going to look at to learn this morning, to understand where we've come from and where we are right now and where we're going, is a story that he told toward the end of his life in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. You see, the screen's just become see-through. That's pretty cool, right? At the end of his life, Jesus was going to Jerusalem, the city that he knew he was going to die in. And he was with his friends, and he wanted them to learn. He loved them. And so he taught them in Matthew 25, in that chapter, a few stories that were meant to picture life altogether for them. The whole of life. And he told these parables in that chapter to teach them. One of those that he told is the one we're going to look at this morning. It's a story in which there's a master and some servants. And we're going to look at that together. I want you to understand this, every one of you, no matter how old you are or how young you are, no matter how confident you are in your faith or how full of questions you are, this is a picture that Jesus painted that shows us and God. Every one of you is in this picture, and us as a church, all of us together, are in it as well. It's a story of a master and servants. We're going to take it bit by bit and understand where we are and where we're going. All right? I'm not crying yet. His story opens like this. "For it is as if a man was going on a journey, summoned his slaves, and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away." Jesus tells his friends a story of a master who is going away and who gives his servants his property to manage in his absence. In this story, the master is on a journey. It was not uncommon in the first century for a wealthy landowner to have property and then to be, for whatever reason, having to go far away and needing someone to take care of it in his absence. In this story, there are 3 servants who are summoned. One is given 5, another 2, the third just 1, and they are entrusted with this property. The master expects them to oversee his affairs, to manage his business in his absence. 5 talents. The word talent is in our English language, the thing that designates something that you're good at. Some of you know that you're talented. Others of you may feel like you're not. Every one of us has some talent. Talent in this time was a measure of money. 1 talent was what a worker could earn, listen now, in 15 years. That means the first man was given 45 years worth of money to work with. The second was given 30, and the first was given 15, or the last was given 15. Did you hear how quickly I did that multiplication? This is not just a picture of a man back then and servants back then. It is a picture of you, every one of you. And here's the picture. The Master God has given every single one of us in here some talent, some capacity for good in the world. Some of us might have more than others. None of us have only a little bit. Even the least talented person among us has what amounts to 15 years worth of labor in our hands at every moment to work with. All of you. Some of you are good at building things. Others of you are good with numbers and managing finances. Some of you are exceptionally good at caring for little ones, for creating with your mind, for envisioning, for leading, for managing. Every single one of you has some talent. The youngest of you in here has something good to do. The oldest of you in here still has days before you with talents that God has given you to use. Now, in this story, the master entrusts these servants, expecting them to do business with what was his as he's off. And this also is you. Every one of you is meant to do with what God has given you something good for him in the world. What? What are you meant to do? The master that we know through Jesus is a God who is love. A God who looks at the world and cares for the world more than the world could ask or imagine. A God who loves every person, every one of you in here, more than you could ever dream. And the Master's work that he's given to us is to spread that love. Those of us who know, who understand that this Master has given something to us, our responsibility is to use what he's given so that his message and his love is spread so that people come to know him. That's the business he has for us to do. Now, there's a reason why I'm standing here this morning and not somewhere else. Do any of you have anxiety dreams ever? Some of you do? Yes or no? Anyone have that dream where you show up, it's the last day of class, and you haven't read the textbook yet? I had that dream. I actually lived that reality in college a few times. I had to redo those courses. Those of you who know me know that I have dreamed about this moment for 12 years, not figuratively, but literally dreamt of it. When I came out to Red Bank from Princeton, right away there was a group that said, let's find a place to do this ministry, and I started to get to work at it. And it took a little longer than I had expected or hoped. But I dreamt along the way of the day when we'd finally be in our own place. In these dreams, I was always wandering through the halls of some building, and I could never find where the place was where I was supposed to give my sermon. And when I got there, I couldn't find my notes. And when I did find my notes, there was nothing on them intelligible at all. I didn't know what I was going to preach about. And then I couldn't find out where to stand. And in some of the dreams, I would even be wondering, which way do I face to give this message? And in this moment, right now, I'm exactly where I'm meant to be. This is exactly where I meant to be. I'm not looking anymore. And there's a reason why. And this is the part that moves me. It's because you, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, even those of you that I met in the last few weeks, I'm here because you have used what God has given you to put this together. That's what you've done. You've used your time, your creativity, your finances, your skills to make a place like this. That is a way to do the Master's business while he seems to be far away. Because let me ask you, doesn't it seem that God is far away from the world sometimes when you see what's happening in our world? Doesn't it? The response of the servant who is faithful is to ask, what can I do with what God has entrusted me with? And I know that we're here because so many of you have answered that question in this way. Look at what happens next in this story. After the master goes away, entrusting these servants, Jesus' story continues like this. I don't need that. Verse 16. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. Both of them did the same thing, and both of them experienced the same outcome. Both of them went away immediately and traded with what they had. Traded means they took the assets, the resources that God had entrusted them with, and put them into the market. And in both cases, they had a 100% return on their investment. And if you've invested, you know that in order to get a 100% return, you have to risk what you have. That trading causes the possibility that you will lose everything you put out there. Both of these 2 servants, they put everything that they've been entrusted with out there. They don't set aside some for a rainy day. They don't hold back a little bit because it might not work out. They put it all in. And I don't know anything about trading in the market, but somebody does. And they know that that's a lot of risk. And in this story, there's one outcome for the person who risks everything, and it is 100% return. And again, now, Jesus is not just talking about a wealthy landowner and his servants back then. He's talking about you and me. And here's what happens with the third one, verse 18. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Why do you think he did that? He was afraid. He was afraid of losing what he had in his hands, and so he decided not to put it out there. And that also is an option for everyone who has something good. It is to hide it, to control it, to put it in the ground so that there's no risk that it will be taken away. And in this story that Jesus tells, these 2 different outcomes depict for you and me the 2 and only 2 paths that we can take with the resources that God has given us. One is that we will hide them so that we cannot possibly lose them. And if we do that, there's a guaranteed outcome. When the master returns, we will have exactly what he gave us. If you know how this story ends, that's not actually the final outcome. And I'm going to spill the beans here. When the master comes back, and he will come back, he wants to see what this servant has done with what he has, and when he digs it up and shows it to him, the master takes it away from him. And so if you want to mitigate against all risk of loss and hold on to the good things that God has given you, never willing to risk them for his work, I promise you that one day you will lose them. And then on the other hand, we have these 2. And the lesson here is whatever God has given you, you should risk it all together for his work in the world. And if you do, you cannot lose. Do you see that? Does that seem unrealistic? Does it or not? It is. In one sense, it's absolutely unrealistic. I see the one guy here I know for sure who works in New York with money. He's saying that's unrealistic. That's not how it works. That's how it works in God's kingdom. Now, I want you to think of yourself again, and not Jesus' story, and think of the gifts that God has given you personally. And imagine what it would look like for you to put those gifts to work, not for yourself, but for the master. Maybe you're not sure that you believe in God. Maybe you're not sure that there is such a thing as God, but maybe if you would entertain it for a minute and imagine if you could look at yourself with the talents that you uniquely possess. And any talent counts here. Your mind, your intellect, your will, your imagination, your ability to do physical labor, your thoughtfulness. your resources, your money, your home, your possessions, whatever it is, if you would put that into service, into the master's hands, this story says you will receive a 100% return. Has anyone in here ever seen someone use what they had for God's work and seen a positive return? Has anyone seen that? Yes? Some of you remember in the early days when we used to meet as a church in Lee Tuminox's basement. Does anybody here remember that? Would you raise your hand if you were there? A surprising number of you were. Lee Tuminoxa was a man who was a vice president at a little company called AT&T. Some of you who are here maybe know him as I say his name because you happen to work at that company where he had thousands of people working underneath him. He looked at what he had, a really nice condominium in a gated community in Little Silver. He had some finances. Scratch is what he called it. I never heard him say that. He had experience managing thousands of people, and he looked out into the world and he saw there are a lot of young kids who are suffering because they're far from Jesus, and wouldn't it be good if someone would reach out to them? At the same time, there were a number of young people who also had known Jesus' love, and they thought, well, what are the resources we have? What are the talents God has given us? We have time. We don't have a lot of financial responsibilities. We're still mooching off our parents. We can go out into the world and share the grace that God has given us. These people came together, and then Lee looked at this fine condominium and he said, this is my house. Why not make it into the first church building for this church? His basement was a sanctuary. His sunroom was my office. His living room was the boardroom. His kitchen table was where we had staff meetings. His kitchen counters, that's where we cooked for the church. And the only thing his church didn't have was a parking lot, which is why we got kicked out of there. For 1 year, he opened that house as if it wasn't his. Did you hear what I just said? It wasn't his. It was a talent that the master had entrusted him with to use for others. He risked it all, and the return was 100%. Now, whatever you have in this moment, you are meant to see it not as your own, but as God's, and to risk it for his work. It wasn't just Lee who did that. Every Sunday that we gather together as a church, there are people with talents who are putting them into the market for God's work. The musicians leading us as they do with their excellent music week after week. The people who are working with the children right now in children's ministry. Every week gathering together. Those who open their homes for community groups in our church. The people who do hospitality. The folks who are standing out in the parking lot. Not just them. The hands that built the building that we're in. See this piece of wood right here? This one. You see this one right here? Everyone is unique, right? I told the guy who was building this building that I liked that piece of wood, and I wanted to make sure it was close behind my pulpit when I preached so that I could look at it, and he put it there. Jeff, would you mind standing up for a moment? That's Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff, and he built much of the building that we're in. And I want to single out the other people who had a hand in making this work this morning, but do you know what? I can't do it because there's too many of you. And I mean that. It's not just Jeff. There are dozens of people who are sitting among us right now who've given up dollars so that they could use their expertise to make this happen. There are people who are sitting among us who've worked hard at the businesses that they've run to put this together. There are people who have decided to give away a lot of money to make it so we could gather here. And the way I want every one of you who's done that to think about what you've done is along the lines of this story. Every one of you is a servant of that master, and he's given you something good to work with. And when you work with it, you use it for his purposes, then you are a servant who invests what he's given for his purposes. And then he does always with that kind of work, 100% return. Now, Jesus' story has more to say, and there's something very important for us because this right now, this moment here, is a moment for assessment. This is not the finishing line. It's a moment for us to pause and ask, where are we and how have things gone? Look at how Jesus' story continues in verse 19. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Please listen to me. This is for everybody here. Well, even if this is your first and only time with us, there will be a day in the future when each one of us stands before God and God will want to see what we have done with the things he's entrusted us with. Jesus was very clear about this with his disciples because he knew that it's very easy for us to become people who don't see what we have, but only see what we don't have. You ever struggle with that? And then you go through life never doing anything positive in the world, and there will be a day before every one of us where we will stand before the Master and he would like to see what we did with what he gave us. Jesus warned his disciples of that because Jesus knew if at that moment there is a good report, if you've used what he's given you in a good way, it will be very good for you. And by contrast, if you've not used what he's given you in a good way, it will be very bad for you. And this is a part of why Jesus told this story. The Master comes and there's a reckoning. Listen, it's not just at the end that there's a reckoning. Even along the way, we are called as people to stop and look at our lives and say, how are we doing with what God has given me? And we should do that as individuals and as a church. Here, look again what happened. Verse 20, then the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. This man brings his 100% return back to the Master and says, here, now there's 10 and they're all yours. Here's what I've done. And I don't think it's wrong to say that as a church community altogether, we are looking at a 10-talent moment right now this morning. If God himself were to return and then at least wait until we get through Christmas before the whole thing's done and stand and say, how have things gone? I think we can with good faith say, we've put everything we had into this, and here's what we've got. Not here's what we have, but here's your resource. And look at what the Master says in verse 21. His Master said to him, well done, good and trustworthy slave. Good and trustworthy, those are the kinds of, that's the kind of message that you want to hear from God, that you've been good and trustworthy with what he's given you. The Greek word that's translated as well done there is just one little word with 2 letters, and both of them are vowels, E-U in Greek. It's like, yeah. Like if you have a word that's only vowels, it's like a sound that just expresses how good things are. Yeah. The Master looks at what this servant has done, and he is psyched. And Jesus wants you to know that when you use what God has given you for good, for other people and his purposes, God actually feels joy over you personally and says, yeah. And I want to say it right now to all of you who have put yourselves into this in one way or another. Yeah. The staff of this church that I'm a part of, Matt Agresti, Michelle Andrews, man, I like her. She's my wife if you don't know. Elaine Anzalone and Chris West and Jared Murray. This group of people that I meet with as a staff week after week, they have put themselves into this work over the last year in a way that would make your head spin. Do you know how many times I've heard them complain about having to do extra work in this year? Not once. And it sounds like I'm making that up. I'm not making that up. Well done, staff. The elders of this church who have been meeting 3 times a month for the last year to listen carefully to what God's call has been for them to make this happen and then to execute on it has put in so much time. I can't believe it. I feel guilty that the school system is paying them to do our work, those of them who are teachers. The well done, elders, for your prayers and your hard work and the time and energy that you've invested in making this happen. The volunteers who have been at work with music and the other elements of making this church come together, student ministries, hospitality, all of them, the amount of time and energy you've put in, well done. Those of you who have given financially to make it so we can have this place together, I can't even say thank you. It feels silly to even say it. Carol Lang, do you like the way this building looks? That's because of Carol, who has been here all along the way at every step, in from the beginning all the way to the end, with babies all over her. The day that we first walked through, she had, I think, I don't know, was he inside or outside then? Inside. Well done. To the construction firm that put this building together. Have you heard the nightmares about how when you got a project, you always have to look out, the guy's going to lie, they're going to tell you it takes longer? Not once did that happen along the way. Or the workers that put the carpet in, or the walls, or all of them. As I came over to this place, I made friends with them. I'm kind of sad that the project's done, because we won't see each other each morning. Well done. All of you. Now, this is the moment where we might be tempted to say, all right, finish line. You remember how I started? Is this a finish line or a starting line? This is a starting line. This is a marathon that we've just finished, and we arrive only to see that the race is just now beginning. And those of you who are here for the first time and not sure about what will happen, we are in the same place as you. Because not one of us ever along the way comes to the place where we arrive and we say, all right, we finished, we've done it, and that's that. Not if we're following Jesus. And that's not bad news at all, because you know what the most joyful life is? By far the most joyful life. It is the life of giving everything that God has entrusted you with into his hands so that you can serve with him and his people. And that's what every one of you is invited into this morning. Everyone, even the person who's here for the first time, if you come back, if you come into this place, you are coming into a community that is saying, let's keep running and using everything that God has given us for his purposes. Let me show you. This is not just my invention or my idea. Look at how the story ends. After that servant has shown what he's done with all that the master has given him, the master does not say, well done, time to take an eternal nap. No. Verse 21 continues, you have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Friends, listen. I just noticed it's 10 o'clock and we got a second service coming. Whoa. What we've done up to this point, according to Jesus, is a few things. Does it feel like a lot? It's nothing compared to the good work that God has set before us. This building is the new talent that we are charged to use for the master. It's not our possession. It's not something for us to guard and treasure for ourselves. It is the instrument that the master has said, all right, you did an awful lot with the children's garden. That was the first place we met with a wax paper Jesus. It looks like he had lobster claws on his hands. You did a lot with Lee's basement. You did a lot with the moldy old places that I put you. But now here's a new place. And now he's saying many things. What are the many things? Listen, I have to be brief here. This is not for us. That means we're going to have a lot of strangers in our midst. And we can look at strangers as a threat or as a wonderful opportunity to show God's love to others. And the second is the only way to treat those new people in a manner that fits with the master's intention, because God loves everyone. We're going to have to grow up as a church. We're going to have to be more intentional. No more winging it. Well, a little bit of winging it, but we're going to have to put ourselves into this more than we ever have. We are going to have people who come into this place who've never been into church before. They're going to be spiritually open and very thirsty and hungry to know God. It is our calling to share his goodness and love with them. We will have to work at that, but that's good work to do. We used to work with kids just in their high school years. Now we have the responsibility of meeting children when they first come out. You follow me? Right there. And all the way through. Some of the little ones who are back there are going to be college students, and we're going to still be meeting in this room for worship. Think of that. We have that responsibility of stewarding them from that time forward. All of this is the work that the master is saying to us in this morning, in this moment. Well done. Now I have many things for you to take charge of. If you will choose to do that, with me and all together. I want you to know that what we should expect is a 100% return, so long as we treat everything that God has given us, not as if it's ours, but as if it's his. That's this building and every inch of it. And it's all the talents that God has put into your hands. If you do that with me, I want to close with this. Listen now. You will experience life in a dramatically different manner. You will find the one path to true joy, which is not to hoard what you have for yourself, but to give everything you have into the master's hands so that he can do with it what only he can, which is to spread his love and truth and bring people into his presence so that they have true life. Will you do that? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this time together in this new place. I thank you for this instrument which you entrusted us with. I thank you for every person who is here, those who have been here with us together as a church from the very beginning, and those who are here for the very first time, and everyone else in between, God, open our eyes to see the talents you've given us, to see how you want us to use them in the world that you love. And then we pray that you would take our work and make something great of it. Help us feel your joy and pleasure over us this morning, and lead us on into the future so that each day we use what we have for your purposes. God, I pray this in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior, our friend, and our Lord. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.